So you are doing a workshop slash class at the Whangarei Healthy Living Expo. You're calling it the Mental Health Aware Yoga.
That's correct.
So obviously the word mental health aware tacked on the front of yoga means there's an angle you're taking with this.
Yeah,
so do you want
to
talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So what Mental Health Aware Yoga is a term that was coined by my teacher, Dr. Lauren Tober. And the reason why it's called that, it sounds so simplistic and obvious, is because in their training, they're teaching people how to be mental health aware, because the fact is that something like 80% of people that rock on up to a yoga class. Now, there was a study done in 2005,
yeah,
and something between 70 and 80% of people that rock on up to a yoga class go there for their mental health. And the other thing that was found in that study back in 2005, and I would say the statistics are probably higher now,
yeah,
is about 70-odd percent of people that go to a yoga class have had or have a diagnosable mental health issue.
Right.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and I guess yoga has, you would say generally yoga is beneficial anyway?
Absolutely,
to mental health?
But of course in these spaces, if you don't have awareness of these issues, you can unintentionally harm people.
Ah, okay, right, yeah.
And it's often about the language that you use. It's about how you teach, essentially, and also how you present yourself as a yoga teacher. We live in this world that's very Instagram-y and social media-y and what have you.
Yeah.
And in much of that space, there are images of highly sexualized yoga teachers where they're wearing next to nothing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And that is, and there's this whole thing about yoga is a space for thin white women with money. And that has unfortunately been something that has evolved in our culture because of the commercialization of yoga that's happened in the last 15-20 years.
Yeah, and then Instagram's came and amplified it.
Yeah.
Really, yeah.
Exactly.
Instagramized it, if there's such a phrase.
Yeah.
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 Okay, so when did you sort of get into this, and what sent you there?
Okay, so that's an interesting question. It's not really a linear answer either, because I was practicing yoga for 20 years before I learned to be a teacher. And I came to yoga when I was working as a counsellor for youth for drug and alcohol abuse.
Yeah.
And so I'd been a social worker, I trained as a counsellor, I was a counsellor, and I was working in that sort of space, but I wasn't looking after my own mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of came to a point where I had an accident, I'd fallen off a horse, and yoga just kind of popped in my head that was something that I needed. And I, you know, sort of grew from there. And I never thought in a million years I would ever be a teacher. I'm not naturally flexible. I'm not naturally thin.
Yeah.
I'm all of the things that a yoga person is not supposed to be. According to Instagram, But and this was back in the early 2000s when I started. Unfortunately, there wasn't that kind of image about it. So I didn't even think about it when I started doing it. I just wanted to feel better. And I can truly say that yoga changed my life. It changed my life in the way that I became less reactive to things. I became more responsive. I became more thoughtful. And I started to create more balance in my life. And this is, you know, not something that happened in 5 minutes. This has happened over time, slowly but surely. It's kind of like water on a rock. It just happens really slowly. Okay, so from there, I started teaching yoga, and then did that for, I don't know, few years here in Raglan. About, I think it was must have been about 4 or 5 years at the time, and then the pandemic hit, and that of course had a huge effect on people's mental health.
Yeah.
And it was something that I noticed in myself, and I was thinking, damn, if I feel this way, what do other people feel like? And I'd been looking for something to bring my counselling background, yoga teaching background, massage therapist. I was looking for something to kind of bring that all together, and I found out about this course, this online course, and I thought, that's it, mental health aware yoga. So, I did the training, and they've got really excellent mentors and teachers in Australia and New Zealand. And all of the team, they're psychologists, so you learn about the Western model of psychology and the yoga model of psychology, and they're quite distinct, but there's also some crossover there as well.
You'd hope so, eh?
Yeah.
Although something might have gone a little bit awry somewhere.
Yeah, so of course yoga doesn't take a diagnostic sort of a diagnostic stance on mental health.
Yeah.
It's more about balance versus imbalance and why that is, and they have a whole sort of philosophical kind of standpoint on what it means to be a healthy person and what it means to be a connected person and all of that sort of stuff.
It's kind of a sign of how much our culture has changed that it was possible for the Western experts to sit down with the Eastern philosophy and actually work with it.
Because
traditionally our culture is like denied that that stuff has any use or relevance or, banishes it really.
Yeah, when my teacher, when she was doing her, I think it was her master's, she wanted to do her master's on meditation.
Yeah.
And they went, oh, no, you can't do that. But she said, oh, what about mindfulness? Oh, yeah, fine, yeah, it's all good. But she said now that is slowly changing in academia too.
Is academia the last place to change, is it?
It seems to. I think it's paradoxical often, as these things often are,
there's a different priority with the academic world, which it's got to defend its own, its territory and the bastion of Western science and all that. So, yeah, that's what gets mixed up in it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But unfortunately, there are people who push through it and just wanted to combine the things, and that's where... was I talking with Mike about a permaculture principle of edges, and is where all the interesting stuff happens, and there's extra productivity, and this is two things that have come, and where they've met, it's produced something unique and important, I think. So
Yeah.
So for the... So your workshop / class is what time?
It's at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock in the community house basement.
Yep. On Saturday,
part of the Wellness Expo. The poster's over there. I keep trying to read it, but I can't see through this on-air sign.
Whangaroa Healthy Living Expo.
Yeah. So I keep trying to... Yeah, anyway. So I keep saying workshop / class because you want to teach about it, but also give people a go at the same time.
Because there are tools in yoga that people can use, real simple tools. It can use to regulate their nervous system because it's through the breath that, like, our autonomic nervous system is something that is autonomic. It's automatic. It runs without us thinking about it, and the breath is the one sort of area, one thing that we have got some agency over, some control over, and that is something that we can use in our everyday life to help keep our nervous system regulated.
The autonomic nervous system is a phrase that keeps coming up a lot lately. I think we're just becoming aware of it and of the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system.
Yes, yeah.
Anyway, getting us out of the fight or flight state.
Yeah. The fight or flight state is a great state to be in if you're running away from a tiger. So, you know?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in the modern world that we live in, we often feel that fight or flight when we're on computers or in our cars or at a workspace, and you can't actually run away from the tiger. You can't shake it off. It's like when zebras have been chased by the lion, they'll literally shake their body.
Yeah.
And that's a way of them coming back to their back to homeostasis, back to a balanced state.
That's if they haven't been caught by the lion.
Yeah, if they're lucky enough to get away, right?
Right, then they've got that.
Yeah, kind of yeah.
Should we do that? Should we do what the zebra does?
When shaking,
shake it out.
Yeah, shaking's good, dancing's good, movement
right, physical
is
movement.
Good.
Yeah, because that's what we were supposed to do with the rush of cortisol as well.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, if you're sitting at a desk or in a car, there's nowhere to go, and often it comes out as, you know, it can come out as violence, verbal violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or that can be self-directed. It could be directed at oneself. It either goes in or out to somewhere else in an inappropriate way.
Yeah.
And that's where you get things like road rage or, you know.
Is there something about being in a car that particularly causes that? Like, what is it? I don't know.
We're speeding, but we're still at the same time. We're going really fast.
Yeah.
Fast for our mind, but we're still because we're sitting.
Yeah.
I reckon that's got... Yeah, it'd be interesting. I'm sure there's been studies done on it.
There's a contradiction in that sense that we're moving fast, but our bodies are still...
Yeah.
All right, so we were talking before with Mike about community and the benefits that brings. And we actually mentioned that people might be going to yoga classes to find community.
Yeah, there's a yogic concept called Sangha. And Sangha is basically means community, and that's, you know, you can practice yoga on your own. There's lots of stuff on YouTube that you can do, but you really get that hit of oxytocin, like Mike was talking about that community when you're practicing with a bunch of other people. There's something about that that just lifts people's spirits and it's, you know, you're just vibing off each other. It's like any exercise class, but in a yoga class the difference is it's quite deliberate. It's not just it's not just an accidental thing or an incidental thing that happens as a result of being in a class. It's actually part of the philosophy and why people come together to practice yoga.
So it's better as a group than at home by yourself?
Oh, I think you should just do it, which, you know, it doesn't matter really how you do it as long as you do something.
Right.
Yeah. You know, whether it's yoga's your thing or something else's, it doesn't really matter. I think we just need to move our body, really. We're designed to move. And yoga is one way of doing that, of course. Mm-hmm. But it's about much more. So there's eight limbs in yoga, and asana, which are the postures, is one of them.
Yeah.
And that's the one we focus on in the West, but it has these seven other limbs that are to do with how you live your life, how you treat other people, how you treat yourself.
Okay.
It's a very rich and beautiful tradition, and it's very unfortunate that it has been commercialized and distilled into this this form of exercise when it's about so much more.
Even I'm pretty ignorant about it, but I know it's definitely more than just exercise. Yeah,
it's a spiritual practice.
Yeah. And no wonder we have trouble integrating it into our culture then.
Yeah because it's not religious. It's not about, you know, being religious. It's a spiritual practice. So yoga literally means yoking or union. So that's about union with yourself, union with other people, and union with the divine or whatever you want to call that, that connection with something that's bigger than yourself.
That it's that rejection of organized religion that's occurred in our Western culture over the last few hundred years has left us, we've rejected everything. That fits into that, and even a lot of stuff that just that just crosses over into normal mental health, like meditation.
Yes,
which is scientific benefits are well known.
Yes,
and it still seems a little bit weird to our culture.
Yeah, it's created this sort of big schism there, and a lot of us have bad memories if you grew up in a very strict religious background,
course,
or you went to a Catholic school and there was, you know, some pretty abusive stuff that happened in the past. So, you know, a lot of it has some really horrible memories associated with those kinds of things. So yeah, but it's kind of like you throw out the baby with the bathwater, right? You throw out all the beauty and the mystery of something because of all the harmful stuff that happened. But hopefully practicing yoga can help heal that in some people.
Right. Can we get some people into court-ordered yoga?
Well, they do yoga in prisons now.
They do. Well, I mean, that would be hugely beneficial, I imagine. Like anything that's soothing in a prison, prison environment's got to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we mentioned yoga, and we're talking about yoga. We mentioned meditation. And some of the ways you talked about yoga reminded me of the way people talk about meditation as well. Is there a meditative aspect to yoga?
Well, it's one of the eight limbs.
Okay, all right, there we go.
Yeah. So, yeah, meditation is a really important aspect of yoga. I don't like to say aim of yoga because that sounds like a very sort of stricty pants kind of concept.
Yep.
But one of the aims of yoga is to still your mind, to kind of stop all the noise, or to still it as much as possible and have some kind of agency over your thoughts, and to calm the body and to feel like you can concentrate to the point of having this expanded awareness, this expanded consciousness. So that is part of, you know, what that's the kind of most important part of a yoga practice, is that is what you're trying to achieve, or you know, trying to achieve. It's kind of paradoxical because you're not really trying to achieve anything.
Yeah, if you try too hard, it doesn't work.
Yeah. And that's what it makes it really hard for the brain to kind of, you just have to experience it, really. It's something that you have to experience. You can't really explain it away sort of through, you know, you're just your mind.
Being goal-oriented doesn't quite cut it.
Yeah.
So when you're doing mental health aware yoga, or you're leading it, do you need to know about the people who are there and why they're there?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I mean, it would depend on what class that you're teaching, but you know, as a mental health aware teacher, it's really you're taking those skills into a normal class, and the aim of the mental health aware yoga movement, if you like, is to normalize all of this stuff, to bring this stuff into yoga trainings, like the 200-hour yoga trainings that people do. And it's to try and actually make this, rather than the exception, that it's a normal part of being a yoga teacher, that you have this awareness of mental health, that you are able to teach people, whoever might be in your class, because you never know. In a general class, people rock up. You don't know their background.
And they're not going to, well, they shouldn't just come and tell you right away.
No.
It's usually a bad sign if they are.
No, it's, yeah. I mean, you know, some people might feel comfortable saying that, but it's not something that you're trying to get out of people.
Can you run classes that are named or something, I don't know, designed for a specific people who are dealing with specific traumas, or a specific class of traumas?
Yeah, you could run, say, a yoga for anxiety class, or a yoga for depression class, or yoga for trauma or whatever. There's also another branch of this sort of thing. Mental health aware yoga is quite broad, and then you have trauma informed yoga, which, though that training are the people that work in prisons and things like that, in very specific settings. So there is sort of this thing that's been around. It's been around for quite a while, especially in places like the United States. Here we're a bit more behind with that sort of thing. But it has been around for a while, but it's just kind of been bubbling away.
That happens, and then sometimes, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's everywhere. It's,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like what you said about the nervous system.
Yeah.
That, you know,
everyone's talking about that now.
It used to be the realm of, you know, neurology and scientists and yeah. what have you. And now it's just in the everyday lexicon of people. People are much more aware of it. And I mean, I think there's a reason for that.
Well, yeah, because people latch onto it. They're like, oh, that explains what's going on in my life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, God, you know, so what I'm feeling is normal.
Yeah.
It's just my body reacting to what's going on out in the world or what's going on in my life.
Yeah.
And maybe there's something that I can do to change that, but I don't have to feel bad about myself because every time my boss walks in the room, my stomach does backflips and
uh-huh. yeah, I've been there.
And my yeah. mind goes blank and
So we're kind of out of time. We're talking to Diane Davies, who's going to be doing the mental health awareness yoga workshop or class, 10 o'clock, you said, in the community
yes.
house basement, part of the Healthy Living Expo this Saturday. Do you do yoga elsewhere?
Yeah, I teach on a Friday morning at 9 o'clock at a clay shed, which is behind the old art school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They teach yoga in the clay shed.
Above the clay shed,
in the creative
sorry.
Space.
I can't remember what it's called.
Creative space.
Yeah, creative space. Thank you.
Yeah.
yeah.
I was thinking there's not that much. I've been in the clay shed. There's not that much room.
Yeah, no, the room above the clay shed, which is a lovely space.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
really nice. Yeah, at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's a gentle class. It's aimed for people who might either be just beginning a yoga practice or they've had an injury and they've been away from yoga for a while. They're living in a body that might have a few restrictions. It's a slow-paced, gentle class
right.
with a bit of strength thrown in there too.
Yeah, and it's not, if you've seen yoga on Instagram, it's not like that.
It's not, we're
it's
kind
not
of like
normal
the,
people.
We're the anti-Instagram crew.
Right. So everybody's welcome is what it sounds like.
Everyone's welcome, yeah. absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, Diane, been great to talk to you this morning.